Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
/960 The Ref.
All right. Second half kickoff here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. David Johnston, Logan Booker along with you. Feels like Monday, but it ain't.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. You know what that means? Our favorite time of the week.
Means very, very, very good things, folks.
That's right. Coach Donnan in the house with us. Former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you. Got first one under the books and glad to get a W and get out of the game relatively healthy. With, you know, we lost Kiaris Jackson for a few weeks with a broken hand. But, you know, it's a good win. Anytime you can win on the road and, you know, we probably beat the fifth or sixth best team in the East. We didn't know that going in there, but
I might say the third best team in the East. Maybe, well, maybe
I mean,
I'm wrong.
There's going to be kind of up for grabs on that, but I was surprised that their offense, you know, was so generic. I'm talking about Vanderbilt. You know, last couple of years, of course, they had a different quarterback, but they didn't do hardly any shifting or motion or didn't throw the ball down the field. Part of it's probably because we covered them so well, but
yeah.
You know, they got three of the top 50 players in the country on their offensive team, and we pretty – anytime you can shut out a team, it's very impressive and really shut down their passing game. You know, everything was really short in what we call the A and D zone, right in the flats. And
Are Georgia fans spoiled now? You go on the road, you beat a team. I know Vanderbilt, it's not Alabama, but you win by 24 points. It's the 13th straight double-digit win over an SEC East opponent.
I just think it's the culture we have now with social media and shows like this. Everybody's got an opinion, and you know, you've got a high standard that we've set here under Coach Smart, and everybody expects, you know, perfection. And we really had it the first quarter, I mean, just hitting on all cylinders. But I think the major issue for me right now is just cut down on the penalties, which are things that you can coach up and work hard on and understand that, you know, we talked about Florida and Miami having so many penalties in that first game. The difference in our penalties were we look like an organized team. Our flow getting the plays in the game, our ability to you know, make the checks. We didn't have any delay of game penalties. We did have one timeout on defense where maybe we weren't lined up right. But our, you know, our modus operandi, our game operations were good, and communication was good. But, you know, we didn't have any jumping off sides or motion penalties either. It was like a home game. You were there. That many people following the Dogs.
That was impressive.
Was very good. So I think overall, you know, Uga is not in the transfer portal like Smokey is. I saw a deal yesterday where Smokey was in the transfer portal for Tennessee.
I think they may give him immediate eligibility wherever he wants to go because
that's just a horrific loss. But we won't get into that. But my point is,
let's do.
I would love to get.
We'll get my
later
point,
on.
Yeah, my point is with us, just a lot of potential, a lot of good young players that came through and did when they had their shot, did well and. Just excited about what the rest of the season, how it looms, particularly seeing some of the team. You got a chance to really basically see every team that we play, you know, bouncing around the TV and watching them. And I'm encouraged. Certainly Auburn's talent on defense is very impressive. But other than that, you know, Notre Dame last night had some trouble adjusting to what Louisville was doing, but they've got some athletes. But you know, we got a chance to have a big year.
You brought it up before I could ask about it. The penalties by Georgia Saturday night. Is that something you as a coach see week one maybe being a little bit more prominent than other weeks? Is it just sort of early season jitters, a lot of young guys seeing the field for perhaps their first time in their college career? Is week one more prone to penalties than others?
Yeah, I would say it is for the motion penalties and offsides and, you know, things like that. But there's never any way you can justify, regardless on jitters or anything, stupid out-of-bounds penalties or hitting people in the back on punts or whatever it might be. You know, you're going to get some holding calls. One of them was really kind of ridiculous, but that they called it. But I just think that the one thing you tell your players is, and I used to always say this, and I really believe it, because and I had a rule: if a guy got a 15-yard penalty, I don't care who he was, I took him out of the game just to talk to him about it, because there's not a player in America worth a 15-yard penalty.
No.
When you look at how hard it is to make 10 yards. It is you're giving up a first down and a half every time you know 1.5 first downs. So as much as you think that play could help your team, it hurts you even more. So just got to be really careful about hitting guys out of bounds. And you know, there's I like aggressive penalties where, you know, it could be a hit or late hit or something, you know, sometimes. But when a guy's close to the boundary, just let him go. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And we really gave them about 45 yards on their first field goal. I mean, just that really enhanced their whole drive. But answering your question, I just feel like our team has been over the last few years a very well disciplined team that mm-hmm. doesn't have many penalties. And I really feel like at this point, the best chance anybody's got of beating us is us beating ourselves with turnovers and penalties. If we play our game, it's going to be hard for somebody to flat out beat us. We're going to have to help them.
117 yards in penalties. Now think about that. That's an entire football field and 17 more yards, and still kept them out of the end zone, though.
Right. That's the other thing that Kirby brought out. In today's society, to shut somebody out from a touchdown perspective is pretty impressive. I don't care who you're playing, because, you know, the game is geared towards, you know, scoring points, and they were able to do that. We weren't able to score with the efficiency that we needed there after the first quarter. But the first three or four drives, we looked like a well-oiled machine, and there's no question our offensive line is going to create a lot of situations where we can hit some big play-action passes, like the one we hit to Robertson, but was called back because of the holding penalty. But I feel good about our team. I feel good about the energy they show. They look like they're having a good time to me.
Ran the ball 40 times, threw it 23 times. There's that 2-to-1 run-to-pass ratio. That's what Kirby wants.
Yeah, I feel like Kirby's
that's Georgia's balance.
Kirby's going to always play around our defense first. That's his, and play around our talent. But we do have some special guys with the ball under their arm. Not to mention Swift and Harrion, but guys like Cook and Robertson and Tyler Simmons. Really, Tyler showed you why he's the fastest guy on the team. The way he accelerated on a couple of those punts and the way he hit the edge on the jet sweep. So I was happy for Landers too. He's a guy that. Mm-hmm. That I noticed Kirby in the press conference yesterday is a guy that's really struggled to meet the standards here and as far as, you know, playing to his potential. But he really has worked hard. He had a good spring, a good fall camp, and he has got to step up with us losing Holloman. He's got to step up and be that other guy. Looks like Cager's going to be solid too. So our receiving core is going to be really good. I really like our receiving core. And then you add to the fact that Charlie Werner is such a really good dynamic blocker on the perimeter. I got a text yesterday from, I won't say who the guy is because it'd be disclosing, but he's a pro evaluator, and he does a lot of stuff on, you know, if I mention his name, you'd know about him because he's on TV a lot. But he said he really was impressed with the way that that Werner blocked downfield and the way he would block it at the point of attack. And that's going to help a guy when the pros are evaluating you. The fact that you can catch the ball is one thing, but if you're a hybrid guy that can line up wide and line up tight and also lock onto a guy in the open field, you know, that play block he made when Cook hit the touchdown was very impressive. So there's a lot of stuff you don't see sometimes that people recognize, and I was glad to see that the people recognizing what Charlie's doing.
We're just going to spend the next 15 minutes asking you who that was, and I'm joking, Coach.
Let's play 20 questions and see if we can boil it
down. Is he on the NFL Network? Well, is he on ESPN? Well, is he on Fox? I'm joking, Coach.
His name begins with one of the alphabetical letters.
There you go. Perfect. So now we got a 1 in 26 chance.
He did play in the Southern Conference.
Oh, there you go.
Let me ask you, because you mentioned Coach Smart yesterday with his conversation about Matt Landers at his press conference yesterday. In a gist, he said that, you know, it took a while for Matt Landers to kind of buy into what Kirby wanted to do. They had their differences, and Kirby finishes by saying how proud he is of Matt Landers for really buying in and becoming the receiver he is now. I'm not asking specific names, sort of a theme here, but is that when you were in your coaching days, players that maybe took a little bit longer, especially the wide receiver position, where I imagine in high school a lot of these guys are just go long, we're going to get you the ball. But you get into the SEC, and a big part of you as a receiver is to start blocking and opening up holes for that run game. Were there players that you dealt with over your years that took a little bit longer to buy into that style of play as opposed to the just go long and we'll get the ball to you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty true with every position because it's a jump between college and high school and technique. You got to understand that the people that are defending you are going to make it more difficult for you to get open, and you've got a myriad of different coverages you have to read between zone and man and a jam technique and a bail technique and all these different ideas. And, you know, a good example would be Hines Ward. One of the reasons we were able to get him to come back his senior year was he didn't know the nuances of being a receiver. Tremendous athlete, but he hadn't had to learn how to release and, you know, do a two-step release or a swat and swim or whatever it might be. But he manufactured – everybody knew how tough he was and could block, but he just became a good technique guy his senior year that really made him a lot of money. And I was – happy to see that Hines was picked up by the New York Jets as an offensive analyst. He's going to be working with them now, helping their wide receiver. So that's going to be he's always wanted to get into coaching, and, you know, he's dancing with the stars. That was part of the deal to get Hines back, too. I told Hines if he would work hard that I would get him a contract with Dancing with the Stars.
Well, Coach, would someone like Hines, because I get asked this question a lot, would someone like Hines, who's probably, you know, with as long as he was in the NFL and the contracts he had and the superstar or the you know, the superstardom that he has, would he be a good fit to be an assistant coach at a school like Georgia? Would he be, you know, would he be wanting to be in Sylvester on a Tuesday night and then the next night be in LJ and then the next night be in Dallas?
It's just you never know the adjustment when you look at what the lifestyle you've had, you know, retiring from pro ball and all that, and then the 24/7 that it takes to be certainly he's got the work ethic of anybody I've ever been around, but it's just you know, the recruiting is the difference. I mean, you know, your name is going to help you, but at the same time, the constant texting, the constant dealing with the high school coaches and all that. But I'm sure that he would be an excellent coach for any program, particularly Georgia. But I think the fact that he's getting in to the pro realm right now first is going to help him because he won't have to spend the time recruiting. He can spend it, you know, manufacturing in his own trade and figuring it out and understanding that how to protect, you know, the wide receiver is one thing, but you start getting into game plans and talking about the different protections. And, of course, the pros are even a lot more sophisticated in college in a lot of ways. And then, you know, attacking defenses. And he'll learn how to coach up there because there's a lot of things about coaching and besides just running the routes, you know, and I'm happy for him.
I get the impression, now tell me if I'm wrong, that you either liked recruiting or didn't mind it. But is that just when you go into college coaching, you know that's a necessary evil, and if you're going to be successful, you got to be a good recruiter. I mean, how would you – evaluate that statement.
Well, the one thing
made.
About anybody that's out there listening, if you don't like your job, it's going to be hard to do a good job with it. If it's every day, it's just a drudgery for you. And even, you know, as you know, people got to make money for their family and all that, but you've got to get up every day and look forward to what you're going to do to a certain extent, you know, unless you're just going to be miserable. But you know, I enjoyed the recruiting part because I enjoyed getting to know people, and I enjoyed, the challenge of trying to out-recruit somebody else. You know, I mean, it is a very competitive situation.
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I was at some good schools that helped me. I mean, you know, ego-wise, you it's not just the coach; it's who you're representing, but. You know, it wasn't very hard to be at Oklahoma and go into a place with Barry Switzer and sign the guy, you know. I mean, but you had to do your work because Texas was working them too. The same thing's true at North Carolina. You know, we were going against some really good schools. And then when you got to Georgia, the same thing. So North Carolina State, you know, one of the reasons I got on right away was because our head coach had been there for a long time, and he felt like he needed some younger coaches that could relate to the players a little better because his guys were getting a lot older. So I got the first couple of years, I was on the road most all the time, you know, during the week, and our defensive coach made me take film with me. I had to break the film down at night after I watched it. I'm not getting anybody to feel sorry for me, but it was a very – a tough situation, you know, going out there and working all day recruiting and then come back and have to break down the next week's film at night. So, but that's the way you learn. And I really learned a lot of football from our defensive coaches when I was a freshman coach that really helped me along the ways, because people talk about, well, he just coaches offense and every sky coach. Hey, Kirby knows our offense inside and out. He knows our special teams inside and out. I mean, if you're going to be a good head coach, you better know what makes everybody tick.
Well, it's interesting to me that all your recruiting stories are either funny or positive. You don't seem like the kind of person when you're telling recruiting stories that is like, oh, I had to do this or I had.
Well,
I'm
good.
Sure there were times.
There were some times where you wanted to cut your throat when you know you just felt like that. At the end of the day, you know, what else, you know, you just left at the altar, you know what I mean? You felt like you had the guy.
That's got to be the worst part. Well,
the hardest thing for every kid nowadays, and it was when I was to tell the coach that you really like no. You know, it's easy to say yes to because that's where you want to go, but then you got to defend your decision to everybody that works you hard. And I tell you what, I've been in homes where the mama's in the kitchen and the dad's in the living room and they're fighting back and forth about where the kid's going to go, and I'm just sitting in there saying, this is unbelievable, you know. I mean, the way these kids, because the parents got their ideas about one thing and the kid on the other. And I, one time I told the kid, I said, look, in a little while, what I want you to do, because I had the mom on my side, I want you to tell your dad that you're going down to, at that point it was Publix in Tallahassee, and I mean in Tampa, and I said, I want you to tell him you're going to the grocery store, and then I'm going to go out the back door, and I'm going to meet you at the meat counter, and we're going to sign that baby up.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
The meat counter, and we went back home, took the groceries, and told his dad he's going to FSU.
All right, speaking of food, what's the worst thing you've ever forced yourself to eat because you had to?
I tell you what, I'm going to tell you this story. I was with Chris Selfo up in Pittsburgh, and it was snowing so bad that we didn't think we were going to get down this hill. And we were in a broad slide all the way down the hill, and we didn't hit a car. And we got there, and we didn't get to eat or anything. So finally, we were doing a good job talking to this kid, and his mother said, you guys want some angel food cake? And we said, yeah, we'll take some. And because I was starving, you know. And so they got this mother, first of all, said, do you want anything to drink with it? And we said, no, that'll be fine. So I took the first bite, and I said, you got any milk? I was the driest angel food cake. I mean, I asked her for some milk pretty quick on that one. And I've had some people offer me squirrel and, you know, different kinds of food, and I've eaten them all. But I learned from Switzer, though, and from everybody else, that every coach. One of the things, if you can get a, if you can get their, them to cook for you or get in their kitchen, regardless who it is, that's a good barrier to break down. You know, makes them feel like you're home with them. And Switzer go back in there, and he, you know, it's still the story's true about he went to that one kid's house and went behind the house and looked at see what kind of beer the guy was drinking, and the guy said offered him a beer. He said, I'll take one as long as it's a whatever you, yeah, kind it was. And the, oh, you like that kind? He said, yeah. Like,
I love smart. It. Great
tactic. We were in Lumberton, North Carolina, recruiting Tim Worley at Oklahoma, and everybody knows the story about how I helped Tim turn around and come to Georgia when he couldn't go to Oklahoma. But we went over to Hardee's, and you know, you couldn't buy anything for him. But we were in there, and Switzer didn't like the French fries, so he went in the back and took Tim Worley back with him and showed him how to cook some fries right there at Hardee's. He said, so, you got to get these stories. You got to get them crisper. You got to get them, you know.
So, wait a minute. Coach Switzer is at the Hardee's in Lumberton cooking French fries.
Right. He just went back in there and said, look, you got to – hey, do you know how to cook these? And that lady didn't know who Switzer was. But he just walked right back in there.
That is awesome.
This is where we needed social media in the 80s, 70s, 80s.
Here's one more question. All right, you were saying this a moment ago. If you're in a house and the mom is for you and the dad's for the other team, or vice versa, if the dad's for you and the mom's for you, who would you rather have on your side, the mom or the dad?
Usually the mom, but, you know, sometimes it's but, you know, I've told moms before I got there, particularly when the kid was kind of up in there, just say if things really get bad and looks like it's going down, start crying. Because, you know, hey, you know, if your mother starts crying, it's hard to tell her, no, hey, you're breaking my heart. You're going to go there. Come on, dump my baby. Don't leave me. And, hey, that works every time. And people don't believe that, but it really does. You got to get that mama crying. But there's a lot to recruiting. But nowadays, everybody knows so much about these kids with all these services and stuff, you know, that, and they got to sign so much earlier, you know. I mean, this December signing date, unreal, you know what I mean? It used to be the first time a kid would probably come to your campus would be maybe his junior year when he'd come to camp. And now they've already been here. I mean, they're looking at kids for 2021, you know, their class already. I mean, yeah. 2022. I mean, it's impressive the way they get them in here. And I tell you one thing, people don't know behind the scenes, but I was so impressed this summer. Orlandis Gary, one of my players that played for me, his son's a sophomore up in a rising sophomore up in D.C. He's a wide receiver, and he came to camp. You know, it was one of these where they, you know, the elite players are working out, and there's a lot of players here, and I went over there to watch him, and the way Marshall Malco worked Kirby around to see all those guys, he had him on you know, he was riding around a golf cart.
Right.
But every kid there, Kirby saw at one point or another in the, you know, in the case of about 2 hours, and we were going around and just hitting those and checking. There's about 60 ninth, 10th grade guys that they were evaluating. And they had the tape on them, you know, filming them from up behind, had these. It was really great evaluation.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. It is Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day holiday. We'll come back on the other side. We got plenty of football to talk about. But, Coach, when we do, you get to do this once a year since it's Tuesday.
I get to pick the Bud Light.
Bud Light Free For All weekly winner.
Really? Wow. I can't believe it. I get that once a year.
43 people went.
I brought my glasses. Oh, they did. I brought my glasses today so I can read the guy's name. Last year, it was upside down. I was trying to read it. But, okay.
Coach will be picking a winner when we come back, plus more of the football talk. Certainly, if you got any questions for Coach, 960TheRef at coxradio.com. It is 829.
Welcome back. Good morning. The Tuesday edition, though it feels like a Monday, but thank goodness it is, because we have Coach Donnan in studio, live and in person. It's the morning show on 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan and Dave along with you, recapping the entire week that was. And I guess we were spoiled, as we had football every single night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
love
Sunday,
it.
And Dave's favorite night for college football, Monday. which he's he's very excited for the Dogs to participate next year.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it.
But but we've got some business to get to here.
Yes, we do. The Bud Light 3-for-All, our weekly winner. We'll have a drawing here in just a moment. We have to go over our picks, Logan.
Do I have to go over my picks?
I haven't looked at your picks yet. I'm all right.
I went one.
If he hadn't looked at yours, go on and tell him.
Oh yeah,
winners.
No. In that case, yeah. Let me pick three winners here.
Well, I can
here.
See here. Yeah, exactly. Now I wrote down who you picked. I just hadn't looked at. All right, so you took Colorado State.
Yeah.
Plus the 13.5 at Colorado. Mel Tucker beats Coach Bobo.
I watched the game. It was back and forth, but just too many players on the Colorado team for Colorado State to defend. I mean, that wide receiver for Colorado is really the real deal.
Yeah. All right, Logan, you also had Virginia Tech laying the 4.5 at Boston College, and BC beat them straight up.
That was my lock. I guaranteed it.
What are you having to drink down there at the lake?
I don't know. I mean, it was a
that was your lock?
It was a raucous weekend. I really thought Virginia Tech would bounce back in a big way, and I just didn't believe in Boston College, but I was wrong.
Well, Virginia Tech has they got a revenge game coming up this weekend.
They're
playing Old Dominion.
I never will get to say this rest here. Virginia Tech's quarterback's dad was a walk-on kicker for me at Kansas State.
Okay.
He was a good kicker. He earned a scholarship, and I never will forget it. He kicked one time so low. I asked him, I said, did you kick that with your knee or with your foot? Willis was the guy's name. He's a good guy, and he's coming to the Tech game when they play Georgia Tech, plays Virginia Tech.
Okay.
He's coming, and hopefully I'll get to see him. He said he might come over and say hello, but it's kind of proud of the guy. You know, his son's really doing a good job for Virginia Tech.
So, Logan, you and I both picked Alabama to cover against Duke, so we both got that one.
It didn't look good in the beginning.
No, it didn't.
In terms of the spread, but
nope.
As we know, Bama leaned on them.
They like doing that, yes.
That became its
Alabama thing. And Clemson first quarter and a half, I mean, both of them struggled. I mean, any way you look at it.
All right, so, Logan, you went 1-2. I took Coach Kiffin and Florida Atlantic to cover against Ohio State, and they did.
Dope. Oh, they did cover. I'm
they
sorry.
Did cover.
Never mind.
The Mighty Kiffins.
Yes.
Good for you.
They lost by 24, I believe, and they were getting 27.5. And then my other game was – I took Oklahoma to win, but I took Houston to cover. So they kind of backdoored that one. So I got a little bit lucky with Houston getting a couple of late touchdowns.
Yeah.
There.
So you're 3-0 this week.
No, 2-1.
2-1, okay.
2-1.
Who was the loss?
Let's see. I had I did go 3-0. I took Florida Atlantic,
oh,
Bama.
Look at that.
Oh, I did go 3-0.
Oh, wow. Man, take the 3-0.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that. I thought
it was a rousing start here.
Here's why I had the loss in my head. In our one SEC game, Logan took Georgia and I took Vane. I thought Georgia would win by 21 and not 21.5, and Rodrigo, I wasn't pulling against him at the end, but I was kind of thinking about that a little bit. But Georgia did get the cover.
You know, there's a lot of people up north that really like Kirby making that decision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, during the broadcast, I guess you didn't get a chance to see it,
about
Dave.
About stuff like that. But
Tom Hart, when he was calling the game for SEC Network, or I guess ESPN, said, and a kick that will mean a lot to many.
That's
all he said.
That's right.
And he knocked it through.
So we had 43 folks go 3-0, and I'll tell you this. The people that missed, there were a lot of people that took South Carolina over North Carolina. There were a lot of people that took Missouri over Wyoming. And I think those were the two.
Maybe
those were the
Tennessee
two.
Over Georgia State.
There weren't that many people that took Tennessee. So they weren't one of the big culprits. So, Coach,
we're gonna
us a winner here.
3-0. I'm going to pronounce the name right now.
All right, Coach has put his glasses on for this.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got, Coach.
Well, this
the cup.
This is the cup. This
yeah.
is
here
it.
We go. The winner right. is
we
in
need,
hand.
We need to get a drum roll here.
And the winner is?
And the winner is William McCarthy.
William Mac McCarthy. All right, let me get William's picks.
Is he the normal guy on here?
He plays a lot, yes. So
way to
William
go, William.
McCarthy.
So he now has a 1-14, or 15. 1-15 chance
his
to win
chance,
the grand prize.
Well, he's the only person
that could win
on the
right
planet
now.
Right now that could go 15 for 15. There's no one else that could do that other than he is William McCarthy.
A fraternity of one.
That is right.
A wolf pack of one.
What does he win at the end of the year?
Oh, Coach.
What if he gets in the draw?
Fantastic tailgate prize, let me hear all including that the stuff. TV. And the greatest thing is $500 extra in Visa gift cards.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yes. Hey, that gives you a chance every week. That's
absolutely
that's a real incentive.
And just for winning this week, he gets a $25 gift card to Loco's. So you get a weekly prize. And the grand prize, which is fantastic. All
so
right,
William, so, you taking me to lunch Wednesday?
Yeah, that's right. He took Oklahoma State Friday
Cowboys.
Night
I tell
at
you,
Oregon State.
Senior quarterback, scary.
Is that right?
Woo.
He took Boise. That was a good call.
Boise was hydrated down there. That was
apparently
hydrated.
So.
They don't hydrate them at Tallahassee.
They've discovered the electrolyte.
That's right.
In Idaho.
Well, they
in,
can't,
he also
they can't
took
drink,
Fresno.
They
he
can't
took
drink
Fresno.
Gatorade there because
that's
of the
right.
Name.
Of course. And William also took, or Mac also took Fresno. And they didn't beat Southern Cal, but they did cover the
13. He got a break there when that quarterback got hurt because they would have had a hard time.
That was that's a tough one there for USC, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, you got a guy like JT Daniel who really looked good the first half, and they lose him for the season. You hate it for the kid. I mean, he's and you hate it for Coach Helton. You know, I knew his dad. His dad was a heck of a coach, a pro coach, college coach at Miami when they won a national championship. You know, there's a lot of conjecture about what's going to happen out there, but he's definitely a good guy. I hope he can make it. He's a good guy, Coach Helton.
How about this for the next five games for USC? Stanford at BYU, Utah at Washington, and then at Notre Dame.
Pretty good schedule.
Yeah.
Is this why we're talking about a potential new coach in Southern Cal? Is that part of that formula, by the way?
New AD, too.
Yeah. So congrats to
William McCarthy.
William McCarthy, who put on his email, Mac.
And he's also the only one this season that will be announced by a coach.
That's correct.
So you are in a great fraternity, William.
I'm glad I could read his name.
That was a lot of names to
right.
That's like the cup's almost halfway full. We got
and
so many
cup
names.
The cup runneth over.
It does indeed. It does indeed. So we'll get in touch with our man. I say our man. I don't think I've met him, but he's our first winner
year. He'll be our man today.
The store will be open again tomorrow, and we will start taking your picks.
So we had 43 winners. How many people actually entered?
We had close to I didn't count them, but it was one of
Go
our
on
biggest
and say
ever.
3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, it was 16,000.
It was indeed 16,000.
Yes,
I'll say this: it was hundreds.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was.
Hey, we'll take that.
But when here's the thing. I always tell people this. When the dogs cover, it's for a lot of people, it's all you get. It's a two. Because there's a lot of people, and I don't blame
them.
A lot of people that play Georgia every week. So if the dogs cover. Then,
is there a line on this game this week?
I haven't seen one yet. So, and by the way, Georgia is not available this week because we don't do FBS versus FCS.
Okay. I saw where Alabama's 54
point favorite right. with the over under of 64. Mm-mm. So Vegas is saying that Bama's going to win 59-5.
Don't touch it.
New Mexico State. And I don't think you can get an FBS versus an FBS game much more than that.
There's
I know
these
Florida
guys,
State.
New Mexico State, though, is an FBS team, aren't they?
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can play. But like, I think Stevie T had emailed in earlier. There were a few years ago, Florida State was like a 70-point favorite over Savannah State or something like that. But like FBS versus FBS, I mean, you can't really get much more than mid-50s.
It was back in – and Stevie T actually brought this up earlier. The Florida State, Savannah State. Did you mention
that
already?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm hey, Googling and listen. Yeah. Sorry.
Let me
that
tell
was
you
like
something.
70.
We played Kansas when they weren't very good, and we were a 57-point favorite.
Yeah.
57-point favorite. And we always had some guys on the trip that – everybody's got alumni and everything to make trip, and we had a couple guys that really pretty big bettors, and we were ahead, like 59-0 or something like that, we were ahead 54-0, and we were going in to score at the end of the game, 2 minutes to go. I'm gonna hit it this quick. We had this guy named Donnie Maloney. He was a four-team back, good player. He was, but he never got to play. So he goes in on the goal line, decides he's going to do a vertical jump from the three and flips over and fumbles going into the end zone. So we're not going to win by 61 or nothing. And these guys on the sideline over there, they're going crazy, you know, these old guys. And I'm looking at them. But anyhow, the coach of Kansas name was Bob Valicente. He ended up going to the pros and he's a good coach. So you just think they're going to run the clock out. They got the ball on the 7-yard line, you know. I mean, about a minute and 30 seconds to go. And this guy rolls out to his left and throws a ball in the flat. And we had this kid from Edmond, Oklahoma, walk on, catches it one-handed, and runs in the end zone for a cover.
Oh, my gosh. A pick six to cover the 57.
One-handed catch.
Oh, my gosh.
It was unbelievable.
What was the line on Memphis-Ole Miss? Was it six?
Well, I don't know what it closed at, but on Friday we had it at five.
Okay, which was a push.
A push.
Now, you notice at the end of the game Memphis – ran the ball, got a first down, then slid.
Yeah.
Where he probably, if he really wanted to assert some effort, could have punched it in the end zone.
Sure.
But he slid down. Todd Gurley did something similar a couple of years ago with the Los Angeles Rams, and there's a lot of folks that
– worst backdoor cover on Saturday was Stanford, though. I mean, Northwestern – I mean, Stanford got, you know, the end of the game, and Northwestern's got the ball, like, on their 20-yard line. They're going to cover – then the guy fumbles, and the guy from Stanford picks it up and runs it in the end zone. They win 17-7.
I know. It's unbelievable. And how about it wasn't a cover or anything, but Iowa State and Northern Iowa, the fumble on the goal line, and the quarterback runs up there and gets the ball. What,
if I'm Northern Iowa in overtime and I tie the game up, I go for two.
I agree. Go for two.
Yeah, one. When you're eating a pregame meal and you're talking to your team, we got one play to win the game against a top 25 team. Hey, I take that every day of the week. Same thing happened with Jacksonville State a couple years ago against Auburn. They had that situation. Hey, go for it, man.
I would rather – I like my odds of getting – you know, first and goal at the 3-1 run play. Run one play as opposed to going to an entire extra
especially
overtime.
When you're a limited team, you know, you play, everything's gone your way. There's got to be something, and that's what happened. Didn't go their way. That guy made an unbelievable recovery on that fumble.
That was
he had no business recovering that ball. The quarterback for Northern Iowa. I mean, I'm sorry, Iowa State. That. There were a couple mind-boggling fumble non-recoveries over the weekend.
I got to do like every 5 years. You're not here, Logan, but every five years, I get to do my Keith Jackson impersonation. And we're playing Kansas another year up there, and it's the only time we can be on TV because of the slot. You know, because we're on these others, and so we're playing Kansas, and they're terrible, and there's not many people in the stands, and we got this one left-handed guy that plays quarterback for us, and we use him as – Switzer gave him a scholarship so he could throw passes for our team because we had the wishbone. We didn't have any passers much. And it helped our baseball coach out, Enos Slaughter, because he gave him a scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
And he could hold for extra points, and he was a good quarterback. But, you know, he just never got in the game. So we get in the game, we're killing them, we're beating them bad. And you got to imagine we're on the left hash mark, and we roll out to the right, and this guy's a left-handed kid, you know. So we call a pass, and he turns around and flips around and goes back into the boundary and throws the ball down the field left-handed, you know, which he is left-handed.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a left-handed quarterback. And Keith Jackson said, well, Nelly, look at that quarterback. That's a 14 guy, and he threw that ball left-handed. He thought that he was so good he could throw it left-handed.
Just your average ambidextrous quarterback.
That's right.
No big deal.
And somebody would have called him amphibious,
amphibious.
I guess. Exactly.
Old Sully, our players were so happy that he could get in the game because he was a great kid. But, you know, every day he'd just go down and throw skeleton for the defense, and then he'd go over to baseball practice.
Got a lot. And you said Enos Country Slaughter?
No, the guy's name was Slaughter. I don't know if it's Enos.
Oh, when you said Enos Slaughter, I was like, hello.
His name was Enos Slaughter, but it wasn't the same one that played for baseball.
But I didn't know if there was a relationship or something.
He did all that stuff for the other sports. You know, it'd help him out.
All right, Coach is here in the studio with us. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we got to take a quick trip around the SEC. Like, we don't do that anyway, but we'll do that when we come back. It's 8:49. All right, back here on the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, 8:53. It's time to take a trip around the SEC, brought to you by Dr. Pepper.
Where do you want to start?
It's the official drink of Fansville. Well, Coach, the SEC took a East. Took a beating this weekend, huh?
Yeah, that was just surprising. The first game that surprised me the most was Missouri losing to Wyoming. But, you know, they had three ugly turnovers, two in the red zone, which were, you know, they're going in to score. And then they gave them a couple touchdowns. And Wyoming's a tough out there, though. It's a tough place to play. And it's just a game you can't lose when you're Missouri and you're fighting for, you know, credibility in the league. And, you know, their home crowds haven't been that great. They got West Virginia this week, which West Virginia's down a little bit. And then South Carolina just inexplicably played that game not to lose. The fourth quarter, they just punting like they did where they did. And, you know, letting the team go with the young quarterback go over 90 yards twice on you. This really doesn't speak very well for your defense. And now they've lost Bentley for probably the year, at least 6 weeks. And, you know, more than likely would go on and hold him out. But they're looking down the barrel of having a really rugged year with their schedule. And, of course, we can say what we want to about, you know, the other teams. But Tennessee just give a lot of credit to Georgia State, because I thought they were going to really be down. Lost two, you know, only won two games last year. But Tennessee's defense just looked like that old commercial, New York Life. They're running for financial security. They're running for they've got term insurance. I mean, yeah, they were running everywhere on that Tennessee defense.
South Carolina will have to go to Tyler Helinski. True freshman, a good, highly recruited kid.
Good player. I mean, but he did well in the Elite 11, and he's got a good arm. And
my South Carolina buddies are like, they're like, let's go to Helinski now and move on from Bentley.
You look at all the freshman quarterbacks around the country that did well. I mean, the kid from Boise State, Bo Nix. There's a lot of them playing freshmen, so they're just a lot more prepared now with all these camps and stuff to do well. So rest of the league, you know, we knew Arkansas and Ole Miss weren't going to be very good. Looks like LSU is going to be at least as good as everybody thought they might be. Mississippi State got them a pretty good quarterback. We saw what Auburn was able to do defensively against Oregon. Poor game management by Oregon, but good win for Coach Malzahn. And then, of course, Alabama losing those two linebackers, that they're not as good defensively as you would think, but they still shut them down, held them to 3 points. Offensively, boy, they look good. I mean, they got a lot of weapons, and Tua's just so remarkably accurate. It's just incredible. And then once, you know, they played the first half with like six guys on suspension, so in the second half they put it together.
Well, as we like to do in the first half of the show, we look back. The second half of the show, we'll look ahead. So we got a lot of games to get to coming up. And if you got anything for Coach, 960theref at coxradio.com. Georgia and Murray State coming up on Saturday. It'll be a 4 o'clock kickoff that we'll have for you right here on the Ref. All right, fourth and final hour coming up next. It's 8:57.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.